Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. Yes, I'm back in my home turf, and I'll tell you, it just feels so warm and cozy. The temperatures are dropping. Leaves are everywhere. It looks like an absolutely awesome fall day here in the Pacific Northwest, and it's invigorating to be outside. And of course, Halloween is just around the corner, and it just gives that wonderful feel, that magical fall that we all really enjoy. Maybe you don't, but I do. It's one of my favorite times of the year. We have a delightful guest that is going to be with us this morning. Her name is Rasha, and she's put together a phenomenal book. It's actually her life story. It's called A Journey to Oneness, and it is her personal chronicle that she developed over many, many years of traveling a journey, a spiritual journey, that for her was quite exceptional. Now, we've been having
She's with us now.
Ah, great. We've got her. Hello, Rasha. Good morning to
you. Hi, Donna. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. I'm so delighted that you are able to join us today because I know your schedule has just been incredibly challenging. And when I got your book...
I'm about to leave for India.
Oh, yes. That's your home. India is your home. Now, I'd love for you to go back in time a little bit with your story, because you're American, and you are a woman that has traveled a road of exploration, I'll put it that way. You have been curious.
Oh, yes.
You have investigated so many things, and your whole life was transformed. Let's talk about your origins, where you came from, and why it is you feel that this journey was triggered.
Oh, my. Well, I'm American. For most of my life, I led a very normal kind of American existence. I was a career woman. I had my own company. I raised three wonderful children. We did travel back and forth to Europe, but other than that, a very typical lifestyle. And then everything shifted in a very different way. My focus became very oriented toward the inner world, the spiritual self that I realized was emerging from within me. And life took off in a very different direction. And it was so unexpected. It's nothing I ever planned.
So many people, when they go through life, we all are indoctrinated to one degree or another about what, quote-unquote, the life of life should be. And having been, you know, raised in America myself and having just this awareness of it, there's this, gee whiz, you want your financial independence, you want to have good health, and you want a home. There's all of this focus, and all of it's good. There's nothing wrong with any of it. But so many people will find that the drapings of stuff, I'll say, or their lifestyle or their environment, they're empty. And I know that I've encountered many clients just in the last few years who have just been wondering what's wrong with them. And there was nothing wrong with them. It was time for them to grow in a brand new direction. What was the trigger that made you aware that there was something you needed to explore?
It can happen in any number of ways. In my own case, everything fell apart very unexpectedly. Life was working, and then suddenly it was a disaster. My business went down the tube. My marriage ended. many people in my family passed away in short order. And so my whole sense of who I was, my identity, was eroded. And when that happens, and it's happening to a lot of people nowadays, you mm-hmm. begin to search for the meaning of life in a very different place, in a different direction. Because who you thought you were suddenly isn't there anymore. So you start asking the big questions. Mm-hmm. Well, who am I really? And what is this really about?
Yes.
If I'm not about success and being this high-powered businesswoman, then what the heck? What's going on?
Now,
for a lot of people, the failure isn't part of it. A lot of people, like you said, are very successful and everything's going right. And still there's this feeling like something's missing.
Mm-hmm.
Like life is empty. It's not delivering the gratification you assumed it would. And so, again, you begin searching for meaning, for the depth and the satisfaction of living in a very different place.
Now, what I liked about your book, that when you started off with your book in the introduction, you titled it Surrender. And you had been doing meditation and had been involved with that aspect, and just about everyone that's listening to this show today is very familiar with that. But there was an awareness that you definitely had where you said, I'm trying to hang on to all of this, I'm trying to make sense of it, and the term surrender gives a lot of people various images in their mind. It's like, oh, you're giving up. And that is true. You are. But it doesn't mean that you're just a doormat, that you're going to let everybody else just walk all over you. That's not what this means. What it means is developing a trust. Am I correct?
Yes, I would say it's a different level of surrender. It's almost like a different octave of the concept of surrender. You willingly let go, and you allow life to carry you in the direction that it seems to be going, instead of resisting reluctantly the circumstances that you wouldn't have programmed into your script. But in fact, that's what's happening. So mm-hmm. you allow it, and mm-hmm. you willingly go along for the ride, and allow life to lead you in the direction that seems to be flowing in a natural way, instead of rowing like crazy in the other direction because you were programmed to think that's what should be happening. In fact, what is happening is what is happening. And that was the level of surrender I reached.
I liked how, I liked how in the book you asked the question, which I know everyone, even me, I've done this at times in my life. And it's, what is the point of all the struggle? And I'm quoting from your book directly. You were asking this. Everything had just been chewed up, turned into mush. Nothing was making sense. There was no logic to any of this, which I think anybody that's going through trauma right now, whatever that trauma is, financial, emotional, material, physical, it doesn't make any difference, spiritual. It just feels like someone has put you into a super-duper shredder, spitting you out. They add a little bit of water, and you're nothing but a bunch of mush. And you just go,
yes.
What's the point of all this garbage? What is it? And you said, here I was, a perfectly nice, kind-hearted, spiritual person, just like I described, being chewed up and spit out, and you felt like you didn't belong anymore. Nothing was working. You were tired of all of these questions that never seemed to be getting answered. But you really were opening yourself up to a whole new environment of understanding and awareness. And to be able to do this, I think so many times when people read stories about individuals that go through this, they think there's some kind of magic wand that's waved over your head. And it's like, ooh, abracadabra, and you got it all. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. Usually you get kicked in the rear over and over again.
Most people have been deluded into thinking that somehow they're going to go on a bliss trip and that life is going to be all peaches and beautiful. This is the ultimate struggle for the understanding of who you really are and who you're really not, all mm-hmm. the illusions are shattered. In mm-hmm. one fell swoop, everything is just devastated. In my case, I went through an extreme version of it. And I asked oneness, like, if I can explain theoretically all of this stuff, why is my life such a mess?
Mm-hmm.
Why is everything going wrong? And they said to me, you can't teach it if you haven't lived it, Rasha. And so I would say to the listeners out there who are going through it in a difficult way, this possibly is because you are going to be there as a rock of Gibraltar for others in the future, and you are being tested and pushed to your limits now so that these ideas and these understandings are ingrained in you and that you're solid as a rock.
I think that is
a lot of us
very
are
important.
Being trained for in the concept of compassion. We're developing within our hearts the skills needed to be present for other people who are going to be going on this journey. This would be true for all the healers out there, for those people who are spiritual leaders, as well as people who have been on the path a very long time. That doesn't mean that life is going to be a joyride. In fact, it's going to intensify. It may become worse. And you'll start asking yourself, what am I doing wrong? In fact, mm-hmm. you're doing everything right.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets like that, this is the final exam time when things get rough. That's what I learned from this.
I know many, many years ago.
So many times.
Right. Many years ago, I was told by my mentor, this is a school. And if you want to get a PhD, be prepared. You're going to have to work pretty hard. And I didn't have any clue about what my mentor meant. It just absolutely, it was okay. I could get the concept of school. But now, as a mature woman, I really understand a lot of what she was trying to convey. And it is, like you said, you have to earn your positioning, and that is by living. There are some people maybe that can isolate themselves, but even when you isolate yourself or you think everything's going to be wonderful, you're still going to have to work. There's not going to be any shortcuts. Mm-hmm. I haven't found any yet. Have you found any, Rasha?
No, I haven't. And also, another aspect of this process is that it doesn't do you a whole lot of good to be reading all these books and still be in your mind and grasping at these understandings mentally. What there is to have is not believing it, it's knowing it. And the only way you know it is to have experienced it yourself. Not to have gone through it vicariously because somebody else did it and wrote about it in a book. This gives you a template, an opportunity for seeing how a journey might go, and then in the end to close the books and to have your own journey, have your own experience, and you will do it your own way, not the way that I did it or others did it necessarily, although it will give you an idea of what may be in store for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're not expecting it's going to be all beautiful. It's not all horrible either. It has incredibly exalted moments of divine connectedness and the beautiful feeling of understanding that you are so much more than you'd ever have dreamed that you are, and to have tasted that, the feeling mm-hmm. of inner peace, the feeling of being on solid ground within. That is also part of the mix of this experience. So I've described it as a roller coaster. It's the heights, and then as soon as you feel like, oh boy, now I'm here, you plummet and you crash mm-hmm. a bit. It gives you an opportunity to regroup and to know that you are on the journey of a lifetime.
In your book, the layout of your book, you describe the essence of communication that you often receive as the oneness. And I had to chuckle as I was reading through much of what you said because I could empathize with a lot of what you were perceiving. And one of the segments in your book, and this is a book that one, you can't race through reading. And I feel that with your sharing your own personal experiences and having tremendous honesty, and you kept journals for years, and that's what this book is about.
3,000 pages of it.
Right, and so this is quite an accomplishment. This is something that you didn't really know that you wanted to put this out for other people to read, but at this time you say this is just the way it is, so it's going to help people, and you were instructed to do it.
I had no intention of ever writing a book. I was just keeping a journal and dialoguing with oneness, like you talk to your best friend.
And the wisdom about dealing with adversity. And, of course, all of us are seeing such tremendous upheaval at this time, all over the world, not just in the U.S.
Yes.
You read about any other part of the planet, and it's the same thing. India, Africa, China, Russia, I don't care. No matter where. And it's time. It's time for a major shift. And the only way that shift can happen is if you become aware of what's going on and that you have options to work with. And I think that is one of the things that your book gives, is an understanding for the individual. And then collectively, as we each individually take on that responsibility of understanding and being aware of ourselves, this enables us to collectively implement the changes that we really want to implement. And it's an amazing thing. It really, really is. And so you talk about how to break the pattern of adversity, how to go in and be aware that you have to take care of your own space. It goes full circle to what you were told, in that you have to live it. It's not mouthing it, it's or being intellectual about it, but it's coming from the center. And one of the things that I like about your book, The Journey to Oneness, is that it is coming from the heart, but it's not woo-woo. It's not. It's really what you went through. And I found that, and you may need to correct me on the gentleman's name, the interaction you had with Dr. Bindu Purohit was quite special. Tell us about this man, who he was, and how your paths crossed.
This is a most extraordinary being. He is a tantric master, but not the X-rated tantra that a lot of people think that means. This is an exacting science of spirit. You can actually see vibrationally how reality is created and how it can be shifted by shifting your vibration. So it was no accident that our paths crossed. It started in 1994, and he has been a major figure in my life and a mentor for me all along the way, although not an official guru, and we go into a lot of detail about why not. I assumed he was, and no, he said no, he was not. And yet, he helped me create a foundation together with the guidance I was getting from oneness of what was going on, not only within me, but in the world that I was observing all around me. As change was the key word with every breath I was taking, and I was asking the big questions, like, why is everything changing like this? I came to understand that what's happening is nothing more or less than energy. And energy is something that we have an opportunity to affect in our lives. And the book Oneness, that was the first book, and this book, A Journey to Oneness, goes in great depth on how you can use the tools of these understandings to shift your energy and actually change the way life is unfolding for you, so that it's not all carved in stone. You really do have a say-so, and you really can make a difference in what's happening. Major episodes may happen, but the outcomes will be radically different if you pay attention to the energy you bring to the moment. And that was the essence of the training that Dr. Bindu Purohit brought to the equation as I was evolving as a spiritual being, is to understand, how do you do that? And then oneness would expound on that. How do you implement augmenting your energy and riding the wave of energy that this planet is enjoying right now, that's actually creating a lot of upheaval in the world around us and in people's lives, but also the opportunity to really take a quantum leap in the kinds of lives we're leading and the kinds of experiences we could be having in human form in these times.
Now, you have chosen to make India your home. And India is a place that for so many people is absolutely mysterious. It has an awesome history that we haven't even archaeologically begun to understand how long it's really been there. But we're, you know, we're learning as the sciences are able to bring more information forth. And the wisdom that have been in India for all of the distortions and confusions and the phenomenal mixture of cultural spice, I'll call it, you opted to make India your home. Why?
Yes, I did. India is the most fascinating, the most confounding, the most interesting place that I have ever been. I feel so at home there and so comfortable, even though life is very challenging in material ways. I found that India gives me an opportunity to put my understandings to the test in every moment. It's like you don't get what you expect. So it forces you to be present and be in the now because nothing happens the way it's supposed to. So I found that I'm awake and aware. My senses are heightened. And in fact, I feel so alive when I'm there. I can't even explain it. Not to mention the fact that the focus of life over there, particularly in the city I'm living in, Tiruvannamalai, is very spiritually oriented. And it's a place that is just for people like me and, you know, and others. It's an international spiritual mecca. So it's just a fascinating place.
And, when you were going
around.
When you were going through much of your journey, you had a segment of experience that took you to New Mexico. And I use the term a segment of your experience because in your book, A Journey to Oneness, because of the journals that you kept, you were able to show how you learned the things that you learned, how the lessons evolved for you as a woman, as an individual. And it shows also the challenges that you would throw out, all of the emotions and confusions that you experienced. And I think so many times we like to gloss over things. I think of someone that once said, "It's a shame that we do not choose to be honest about how we feel." But so many are taught, I know I have been taught this, you, if you will, keep your dirty laundry to yourself. You don't let other people know what's going on in your life. And that was one very hard lesson for me to learn about having integrity with whatever I was going through. And if someone said to me, "Gee whiz, how's business?" instead of saying, "Well, it's absolutely glorious. I'm absolutely doing wonderfully," saying, "Well, I'm going through some challenges right now. And if you have any ideas about how these challenges could be met, I sure would appreciate it." There's a big difference. There is this dichotomy that exists in life. And I think that really tears people apart. And you know, you experienced this firsthand. It really had an effect on you because the openness and honesty that you were able to experience with others, it worked.
It definitely works when you are honest with yourself. when you don't whitewash what's happening. I found in keeping these journals that I was aware of the intensity of the transformation I was going through. And also, it forced me to confront the emotions that I was deluding myself into thinking had been handled years ago. Mm-hmm. In fact, they hadn't been handled at all. I had just become so good at repressing them. And that's what happens to a lot of people. You get triggered, and suddenly emotions that you thought you had already done the work, it's right up there in your face, and you realize there's a lot more work to do. In training yourself and reprogramming yourself in how you react to the prompts of life, and how do you react to the emotions that those experiences are calculated to trigger, you start to understand that there are ways of releasing this energy in a way that doesn't invite more experiences of the same stuff that you'd like to be done with already. Mm-hmm. So there's a science on how to do this, and especially the book Oneness, it's a tome. It's actually the guidebook and how to get a handle on how to release all the negative stuff, all the burden that so many of us are carrying, unbeknownst to us, that is attracting the kinds of experiences we'd like to be done with already. There is a profound science in how to do this well, so that you're open to having other kinds of experiences in these times instead of doing the same thing over and over again like a broken record.
I think that is so important. I know we're just about out of time, Rasha. Your book, A Journey to mm-hmm. Oneness, you call it a chronicle of spiritual emergence, and I think that is a very good statement. I also think that whenever we can share the journey with someone, and you have the communications that come to you, the information that comes to you, you have all of these points of information, but because you are open about what you went through, and your integrity about presenting the fallibility of your own life experience, and how mm-hmm. it's an ongoing journey. I like what Richard Bach once said, when you're not here, you know you finished your job. So this is something that you really enjoy teaching people. And this book, like I said, this is not a book that you're going to speed read through. This is a book that you're going to want to read, think about, mm-hmm. have curiosity. You might even argue with some of the material in the book, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's always good to question. There's never anything mm-hmm. wrong with questioning. But what is your website, Rasha, so that people can find out more about you, your foundation, the work that you are so earnestly dedicated to making the environment we live in a better one, but really making people understand that there is a way that they can shift the environments that they find themselves in repetitively that maybe are not so good for them. Mm. What's your website?
My website is onenesswebsite.com. And there are some wonderful things people can sign up for. Absolutely free email series with quotations and gorgeous photographs. No strings. We're not trying to sell you anything. This is my gift. And if you go to onenesswebsite.com, there's all sorts of things you may want to check out and see if you'd like to receive it. This is the wisdom of oneness that a lot of people are calling God. There are a lot of words for this source. This is the source of the guidance that I received in this book that I realized doesn't just apply to me. It applies to all of us. And that's why I felt guided to write this book and share it, because it wasn't just for me. I found out after transcribing all of it. So,
well, Rasha,
not whitewashed at all.
Yes. Rasha, I'm so delighted that you've been able to be with us today. Have a safe trip back to India. And I wish you nothing but success, and just keep up doing your work, because the light is a good one. It's bright, it's clear, and I think you touch the lives of many, allowing them to see that they're not stuck. They are really quite fluid, and they can move forward with their life in a very powerful way. A Journey to Oneness, A Chronicle of Spiritual Emergence. Rasha has been my guest. Check her website, onenesswebsite.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be back in just a moment. More good things to share. We'll be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Oh, my goodness. I'm so delighted to be back in my home office. And, hey, phone lines are open. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. That's 627-6008. And again, 888. This is toll free for you. If you'd like to chat with me, all I need from you is your first name or initial. Let me give you my mental impressions. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me about anything that is of significance to you as a person. So give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Now, tomorrow, money. Yes, we're going to be talking with Jeff Rose about his dynamic book. And I really mean it's dynamic because this is a man that is applying military disciplines that he learned as a young person and utilized, but he's applying them to money. And I think that it's a wonderful application. Soldier of Fortune is the title of his book. And then we're going to be talking with Tale Raffelli, The Complete Guide on How to Negotiate. Do you get tongue-tied when you're in front of people? Is there a contract pending? How are you going to work with it? Are you ill at ease with negotiating? Well, why not tune in? Tali has some marvelous suggestions. And then Daryl Nozick. He's going to be with us, and we're going to be discussing his fabulous mystery book, The Condor Song. I don't know about you, but the condor is a bird you don't hear a whole lot about. And how he weaves the information about this wonderful bird into this murder mystery, well, it is just awesome. Once you pick up the book, you don't want to put it down. Believe me, I know, because I've read it. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. And don't forget, you can always check with us here on the show. Go into the website, and you will find out the information about the upcoming guests. And there's just a little bit that I put in there so that you have an idea of the general subject matter. Now, I received some delightful information. It was a story, and I really liked this. It was about a young man who worked with his father as a horse trainer. And I love stories like this. The reason I do is just like Rasha, my guest today, we're all going to go through ups and downs. There's no such thing as a straight line in life. If you find it, let me know, because I haven't found it. And every person, and I have literally talked with tens of thousands of people through the years, they haven't found it either. And like Rasha said, we have our own journeys. It doesn't mean it's bad. We go through it. We're just horrified by it usually. But we're living the experience. But it's what you do with it, how you perceive it, how you perceive whatever your obstacle is. And this young man, when he was growing up, he absolutely adored working with horses. And one day he was asked in class in high school to write a paper about what he wanted to be and what he wanted to do when he grew up. Well, this is normal. Teachers at one time or another are going to ask this. And he went home. He got so excited because he knew exactly what he wanted to do. He wrote a 7-page paper describing how he wanted to own a horse ranch. He put down all the details. He even drew a diagram of a 200-acre ranch. He had the stables outlined. He had the horse track. He had a 4,000-square-foot house. Now, again, he's in high school, but this is in his head. He just absolutely loves being around horses. He hands the paper in. He's been working on it for hours. He's so proud of it. Well, a few days later, he gets it back, and he got an F on the paper. That's right, an F. He was stunned. Why did he get an F? He'd really done quite a good job. So he goes back to the teacher. And this is what the teacher said. This is a fantasy, not a realistic vision of your future. The teacher then proceeded to tell this young man why this was stupid. This was just absolutely not real. And the teacher then said to the student, if you'll rewrite this paper with a more realistic goal, I will reconsider your grade. Now, how do you think you would have responded if someone did that to you? Just think back when you were in high school. If a teacher had taken that positioning, what do you think you would have done? Rewritten the paper? Well, he took his paper that he'd worked so diligently on home, and he went to work, doing what he always did, working with the horses. And then he took that paper back to the school. He turned it in. He looked at the teacher and he said, you can keep the F and I'll keep my dream. True story. Monty Roberts is the man who lived that experience. Eventually, he became the owner of a 4,000-square-foot house in the middle of a 200-acre horse ranch in San Ysidro, California. And today, he touches the lives of thousands of people, teaching them how to train their horses, and also telling them his story about how you never, ever let anybody take your dream away. You don't do that. And I can relate to that. I love writing. Absolutely love writing. When I was a single mom, and I was totally broke, I wrote down a story. I wrote a story, and I sent it out in Christmas cards to people. And they absolutely loved the story. It was a very simple story. But it's one of love and beauty. And what I got back is, this needs to be made into a book. This is a book. You need to put it into a book. I saw in my head exactly how I wanted that illustrated. And believe it or not, I even approached Disney. Yes, I was living in Burbank, California at the time. And I got back a very polite letter. I'm sorry, we do not accept any unsolicited manuscript. And you can imagine, they just get deluged with material. Well, that dream could have been shot down. 20 years later, I got that book published, and that's my award-winning book, God's Kiss. I have a dream of putting out a series. And that book was put out in 1994. And here we are 20 years later. And my dream is going to be fulfilled for having the rest of my stories and my publications put out there for people. They've been waiting for a long time. Sometimes a dream is going to take a while. Sometimes that dream may take a routing that you don't understand. And I'll tell you, it's downright irritating. When you can see something, you know it, you feel it, it's in the depths of your very soul. And you keep being told by people that you experience in life, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. It is not practical. Don't ever give up on that dream. Because you have the power of making that dream real. But I will tell you, it may come about in a way you would never, ever have planned or imagined. It is going to be quite an experience. And you need to know that you are singularly, individually, very important in this experience of life. Why don't you, just during a day, take the time to observe how many people you interact with, how many cross your path. When you go to the grocery store, stop and look. Just take time. All it is a few seconds. And pay attention to what's going on around you. The first thing you may notice is that there's all kinds of products. Well, people create those products. There has to be a transportation system for that product. There also has to be someone that wants to put together a building. You've got construction workers that put up the grocery store. You have electricians. You have all kinds of people that make that site available to you. And then it has to be maintained. You have all kinds of people that have to keep it in place. You have the checkers. You have the managers. When you start being aware of the infrastructure that goes on just for that one store that you're standing in, the butchers, the bakers, the candlestick makers, and more, you realize how important it is for those people to have integrity, for those people to be inventive, for those people to be present so that you can have the convenience that you enjoy. Being mindful of the people that you interact with, how you treat them, and how they treat you. I'll tell you, a smile is an amazing thing when it comes from the depths of you. And I did an experiment on the trip that I just did up to Alaska. I made a point of every person that I interacted with, whether it was a sales clerk, a porter, someone that I, perfect strangers, anybody that I came across, I would look them directly in the eye and I would smile. Do you know I watched faces change? There was this joy that would come out of the eyes of that person. And I thought, wow, this is really a fun game to play. Greeting people, having that, you don't have to be gushy. You just say, hi, have a nice day. But look someone in the eye and smile. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that don't get a smile in a day. They get the grumps and the bumps in life. Give that gift to someone today. I think you're going to find your life a lot richer because of it. But pay attention to what's going on. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. I'm going to be back in just a moment. A few more things to share with you. And I have a delightful story about Jackie Robinson, the wonderful ball player that changed baseball and the racial attitude in a big way for one particular individual. And that's a story I'm going to share. So we'll be coming back in just a moment. Don't go away.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008, and I'll light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. I find it interesting how, no matter where you can be in the world, there's always going to be this group, some kind of a caste system, and whether it is because of the color of your skin, your economic level, I don't care where you go, there's always going to be some kind of a caste system. And this just seems to be a trait of the human being because they just want it that way. You're not as significant as me. And it's really a sad statement because it's so unnecessary. We should judge people if we're going to judge. And I guess some people would say, you're not supposed to judge. Let me use a different word. We should discern character, qualities of personality before we worry about the color of their skin or anything else. I really think there's going to be I don't know how strong a time frame, but I would say more and more in the coming years, that is going to be necessary. Because we need to look at the quality and the character of a person, who they are. Well, there's a gentleman by the name of Ralph Branca, who, when he saw Jackie Robinson for the first time, it was in 1947, and he was playing for the Brooklyn Dodgers at the time. And he was in baseball himself, and he was trying to make it. He was 21 years of age. And Jackie was, brought into his life space. In fact, on the opening day of the game, he walked into the Dodgers clubhouse. And he said, I hadn't thought about segregation very much. My goodness, face it, in California, it was a lot different than on the East Coast and in the South. And he said, very few of the ball players really got concerned about race because they were all trying to do the best that they could. If you didn't do well in your positioning as a ball player, you were going to get fired. And he said, this was major. Dodgers was the big space to be in. And here he was, 21 years of age. And he said, I didn't want to do a lousy job. I wanted to stay with the Dodgers because otherwise I'd end up being sold, passed along to the minors. Now, Jackie Robinson, his reputation had preceded him. They said he was known for being not just a big guy, but he was fast, he was strong. And one of the associate players that Ralph knew, his name was Duke Snyder. He said he grew up in Los Angeles, and he said he used to watch Jackie Robinson play when he played at UCLA. And he said, Ralph, I used to watch Jackie run from the baseball field to the track, meet still in his uniform, and do a broad jump of 25 feet. Now, at that time, the broad jump was close to the world record. It just seemed that Jackie was this superhuman player. Well, he had the positioning of being a pitcher, Ralph did, and Jackie comes up. They're doing a preseason exhibition game. Ralph says, I'm going to throw him a fastball. Boom! Jackie smacked it. It was a dizzy of a smack, too. And he said, this guy's going to help us win the pennant. He is absolutely awesome. Now, on the opening day, there was only one other player that was in the area where the guys would come together before the game. But Jackie came in, and he was a little bit upset because he had gotten word that there was a petition going around saying that blacks should not be playing in the game. And they said they wouldn't play if Jackie was put on the team. However, unknown to Ralph, the manager, Branch Rickey, had extracted a solemn promise from Jackie that no matter what anybody said or did, he would ignore it. Just not pay any attention. And he said, we knew as soon as Jackie came in to our space, he was thinking, are these a couple of guys that have signed this petition? Ralph said he walked over to Jackie, shook his hand, and he said, thanks for being a part of the team. We're so glad you're here. Welcome aboard. And his associate, Craig, did the same thing. And he said some of the players, as the rest of the team arrived, ignored him, but most of them welcomed him. And the manager came in before the game started and told the team, Jackie is going to stay on this team. So if you don't like it, if any of you here don't want to be on the team with Jackie, you're going to have to leave. Won't have you. By golly, there were a few that left. But by George, he wasn't going to give up. And this is something that really was pretty powerful because that game was significant. There were 26,000 Brooklyn fans that came out on that opening day. What happened? Well, I'm out of time. I'm going to have to share this story with you tomorrow. I'm sorry. I am out of time. I'll continue more about the story of Jackie Robinson. Won't you join me tomorrow? Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You make a difference. Believe in yourself. Trust in yourself. Life is a journey, but it's a fascinating one. And if you live right, you'll never, ever get bored. This is Donna Siebel. Won't you join me tomorrow? We'll have a lot to share with you. Join me at my broadcasting table. Take care. God bless. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.